Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
As we move into the 4 o'clock hour, it's Christian Arcan. It's Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. We are live from Gillette Stadium. Nice to have you with us today. The phone number is 617-779-7937, as we have room for you on our phone lines, and we'll also hear from some of you about Joe Castiglione memories that you may have. We open the phone lines up for that as Mr. Castiglione announced his retirement yesterday. Very understated. He did it during the game. I didn't even know about it until I saw it on Twitter, as I was not watching that Red Sox-Yankee game over the Patriots, unfortunately. And, well, they gave us a good reason to, because they lost 3 out of 4 and are all but eliminated, basically, from this wild card race. They're off tonight, which means we don't have to stay on an extra 10 minutes, which is nice. Although I'm going to miss talking with Joe Weil and or Cooper Boardman. Anyways, we got a lot more to get to here Patriots-wise. It is a Patriots Monday after all, and what you just heard was Jonathan Jones with us earlier talking about the defense needing to do more and how that scheme play on the that's the first time I've heard that, by the way, that the DK Metcalf touchdown was the scheme that they meant to do, that it wasn't some broken coverage, that they meant to have two guys up there and not have a safety back, and the defense has to be better than that. First of all, do you believe that? Do you believe that was the scheme called for both of them to be up front and no one to follow the receiver? It doesn't seem like a good scheme if that's the case.
I think against the formation and against their pressure, they thought Seattle was going to do a certain thing, and they didn't think Seattle was going to go deep, and they didn't think that Geno Smith would be able to get the ball. I think it was a few like, that really didn't go well for us kind of thing. Live and learn. Put that in the back of your memory moving forward. And then there was sort of the implication or indication that that scared the Patriots out of blitzing and pressuring for other points in the game. And then if you listen to Geno Smith, he knew on the little screen they set up late that sooner or later they were going to come back to it. And in that long yardage play, that was probably a pressure situation that they would finally come back to it. And then they hit him with a screen and took advantage of it. So there was certainly a cat and mouse game where the Seahawks were the cat and Mayo's Patriots were the mouse, right? They batted him around a little bit in some of those. Even Gerard admitted to it at various points.
It's Gerard. I don't know if you heard.
Let's see. I go by what his mama call him, as they say.
Right.
Not what Wiggy calls him.
Or what Jonathan Vilma was calling him.
Also kind of sad.
Jonathan Vilma called him Gerard Mayo like 3 times.
Well, Jonathan Vilma seems like kind of a boob.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of stinks.
That's he does kind of stink.
Probably why he's on that crew, no disrespect. I can't speak either. That's why I'm here with you. but also a little bit sad. Not sad, whatever. Unfortunate. Like, Mayo, did you see all the clips of Mayo with his whole family pregame?
Yes.
And everybody was here?
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of a sucker for one of those stories. Would have been nice for him to get the win in front of the family at his first home game. And, you know, didn't go that way.
Would have been nice. I mean, he did get a win in his first ever game, so I don't feel that bad for him. But yeah, you're right.
His family wasn't there.
It would have been nice to do it in front of the kids and everything else. This defense allowed 22 receptions and 146 yards combined to DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That happened all throughout the game. I don't feel like there was a certain point where they switched from one guy to the other. Smith was going from one to the other and back, and really that was it. Those guys had more targets individually than any other two players on that team combined, including Bobo, Lockett, the running back Charbonnet, Noah Fant, and even my guy Laviska Shenault. Those guys all even add up what they did there, and it wasn't even close to the attention that those two, Metcalf and Smith-Njigba, were getting in the passing game. The Patriots not adjusting to that does have me wondering a little bit if maybe the defense isn't quite as, I don't know, strong as we're making them out to be. That was a pretty one-dimensional offense we saw, and they struggled to slow them down.
Yeah. Now, one-dimensional in a sense that they were going to throw the ball, multi-dimensional.
Throw the ball to those two guys, yeah.
Yeah, but then even Lockett got involved a little bit later. But those two guys are pretty good. Well, DK is a beast.
Yes.
DK is an absolute beast. And then Smith-Njigba is supposed to be a beast. I know he was a little bit of a disappointment last year, and he kind of threw my guy Shane Waldron under the bus for that and everything. But that's a guy that a lot of people thought was a like absolute can't miss stud wide receiver coming out of Ohio State. And so it's probably not, I mean, if Seattle's looking at that, they're like, okay, breakout. This is what we expect you moving forward to balance out DK Metcalf and Lockett. But no, I've had questions about this defense all year. Not so much are they good, but are they great? And this was a game where they didn't really do the Belichickian take away the opponent's best player, best option. Because without Kenneth Walker, clearly they were going to throw the football more.
Yeah.
And clearly DK is supposed to be their beast of an option. You didn't take him away. And I know, supposedly, everybody telling you, I haven't watched the All-22 yet with my new subscription, but you know, all the numbers tell you that Gonzalez was good for the most part when he was matched up with DK Metcalf. But be that as it may, when the game ended, that guy had 10-plus catches for 100-plus yards. That guy had 10-plus. Yep. You didn't make him play left-handed, did you,
old Belichickian? And it's not like you followed him around the whole game because he had 14 targets and 10 catches. So, I mean, that's and fine. If they were playing in zone in some of them or whatever was the case may be, okay. But you're not making the kind of adjustments to slow a guy like that down or someone like Smith and Jigba, who, by the way, had a couple of drops, had a couple of plays where they knocked the ball away, and it seemed like he was getting a little frustrated in the first half. And they just kept going to him. They just kept feeding him over and over again. Short passes, different ways, in ways that they didn't even bother trying to do with any Patriot wide receiver. They didn't try and feed any of those receivers. They didn't have anything set up for them. It seemed like this was an important part of the offense, going to Smith and Jigba, getting him going early. Metcalf, same thing, although most of his production, it seemed like, came later on. But either way, there was a real dedication to both of those guys all throughout the game, whereas the Patriots had Hunter Henry and Bupkis else.
And this is also where I've wondered the depth of the secondary. Like, we're pretty sure about some of the top roles, right? The top four guys, I guess. Jonathan Jones, our guy, Christian Gonzalez, and the two safeties.
Right.
Peppers and Duggar. Then you get into Marcus Jones. Is he a high-end slot receiver? Is he in that group with those four known commodities? And then we've seen some of the other guys on the field and struggle. I mean, I still go back to the Marco Wilson play.
Yeah. Like, Marco Wilson, who's the backup slot. What is he? Who's the backup safety? That's Hawkins, right?
Yes.
He was out there. You saw him a couple of times. Wilson's the back. He backs up
Depth
Jones.
Depth corner.
Okay.
But I know people complained about that, and some of those aggregation Twitter, social media people were freaking out that the refs took the game on that one call. He tackled the guy.
Yeah.
I know the ball was not probably catchable. And by the letter of the law, I just look at that and say, that's a horrific defensive play. I also don't really understand the rule because
I know. Unless the ball like goes flying into the stands, usually they make that call.
Or even, let's just say he didn't throw there. If he had thrown somewhere else, it's going to be illegal contact.
Right.
You can't tackle a guy who's running his pass route, right?
Yeah.
And you so I find it hard to really argue on behalf of that call from a Patriots perspective and say, oh, that's where the game was lost. But, no, the pass defense was not good enough against a good passing attack. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if you made them look better than they are, I think. Geno Smith, I know he's been to the Pro Bowl the last couple of years, but he had the most passing yards in the league, 300-plus passing yards. I feel like you inflated his numbers a little bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Go ahead, Tim.
Andy, Christian, hello.
Hey,
Tim. I just want to say, yesterday, we already know what the Pats are, right? I mean, they played competitive. It was good. They had a chance. They got lucky the first game. Burrow was rusty, and obviously he made some mistakes through interceptions. But you know what? Going forward, I do know, Christian, we had our pick play. Our boy played a hell of a game, and he wound up getting a couple touchdowns. That was our pick for the rebuild, and I'm just hoping Andy's guy is the guy. You know, May, that's who I'm talking about.
You're talking about Marvin Harrison with the touchdowns.
Yeah,
I know what you mean,
exactly.
Tim. I smell what you're stepping in, buddy. I got you.
Yeah, so, hey, I just know, I just want to get that rebuild going. And then hopefully May winds up being good, man. I just hope they can get better quickly.
All right,
enjoy
we'll see
your
about
day.
That. Thank you, Tim. Thanks for
Thank
the call.
Thank you, Tim.
Did the Patriots get lucky week one?
That's
a reasonable question. They had a bunch of lucky breaks in that game, I'd say.
Okay.
Are they lucky to be 1-1?
So if you say they got lucky in week one, then I am going to say they got unlucky in week two.
Okay.
I'm going to say they're where they should be because they made the plays they needed to make in week one and they didn't make the plays they needed to make in week two, or I'm going to bring luck into it, and then I'll say, yeah, they got lucky in week one and unlucky in week two. I think they kind of are where they should be.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
did. The breaks went the other way in week one.
There was more unusual plays in week one. There was more sort of like, what the hell was that kind of play? Like, Gesicki's, they, you know, that I thought that was a touchdown in real time. The guy holding the ball out was a weird play.
Hudson.
And Hunter Henry with his, you know, breaking up that interception, but that ended up not, they still got points there, so, you know, it wasn't the end of the world. I just think that, in general, that was, those three plays in particular sort of stand out. Nothing like that really happened, it didn't seem like.
No, it was more the officiating, the flags that people are really, although one of them that I would fixate on that went your bring it up again, this Ramondre Stevenson play. I don't know what happened on that fumble.
Oh, the fumble, yeah.
It just was like, nothing to see here, move along, Patriots ball. And it's like, no, the one thing I did see
was... Well, Seattle wasn't making some big deal about it either, so...
Because they didn't have any views of it either.
Yeah, no one knew.
They're probably like, what the hell's going on?
No one on the field was like, hey, I had the ball, I knocked it out, or whatever. Like,
it was very weird.
It was weird.
But
the broadcast certainly wasn't going to help us.
No, I don't... If I'm not going to say unlucky this week, then I'm not going to say lucky. You were fortunate.
Yeah.
I did say the Bengals were a willing victim.
Lucky, yeah.
Right. The Bengals helped you. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And you helped the Seahawks in this game to some degree. And the Seahawks took advantage like you took advantage of the Bengals. So the one thing that I was getting intrigued by was the – I don't even know what SAT rule or whatever that is. But you beat the Bengals, and then the Bengals beat the Chiefs. So you're the best team in the AFC.
Bengals did not beat the Chiefs.
No. They were winning, though.
Oh.
They had that game, and I'm thinking, wait.
It's like, if they did, then FanDuel owes me some money.
Patriots fans going to be telling me that they're really the best team in the AFC because the Bengals, who they knocked off, just knocked off the Chiefs, but it didn't end up working out that way.
No, it certainly didn't. And listen, the Patriots have a better record right now than the Rams, than the Ravens, than a bunch of teams that I think are going to eventually be better than them. But right now, they're a game up on some teams in the NFL that people had big expectations for this year. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Drake May timeline. We'll discuss that, as it looked like Jacoby Brissett, who, by the way, may not be talking with us until 5:30 today. Read into that what you will. But did get banged up, took a couple of shots here, and you saw May on that sideline. We'll talk about the timeline for him, if that's changed at all, and we'll look around the league, some of the other rookie quarterbacks, what they did this week, some of the upsets I was just referring to. We have all that to discuss right after Stiz tells.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Tells you what's trending. That was Gerard Mayo after the game, a quote that stood out to a lot of people. We got to push the ball down the field. We have got to get the passing game going. And after two games of Jacoby Brissett, who we're hoping to talk to here in about an hour, that has not been the case. If that's something that they hope to do, Andy Hart, it would stand to reason that there may be a change at quarterback at some point, unless they think that there's another level here that Brissett can get to that he hasn't quite reached yet, which I'm dubious on that fact. I mean, listen, I like him. I like interviewing him. I'm not sure that we've seen the best of Jacoby Brissett, if that makes sense, but I'm not sure that you can get too much higher than the level that he's at right now.
Yeah, I mean, he can throw the ball down the field. It's not like he has this super weak arm or he's never been. He can get the ball down the field. I think that's. And Gerard, even at one point, I think it might have been this morning on the Greg Hill show, kind of clarified. I'm not just talking about throwing bombs. I'm talking about sort of that intermediate 15 to 20 to 25 range, getting some of those plays in the playbook. But yeah, no, it's certainly a strength, especially on the run, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it. That play that didn't count to K.J. Osborne in the preseason, Drake May doing exactly what Jacoby Brissett did yesterday, kind of having to run a lot, throwing on the run, finding receivers on the run. He has a larger field to play with. He's probably not just looking at Hunter Henry.
Right.
For better or worse, he may go down Josh Allen Boulevard and be trying to throw deep on the run, and it's picked off by a safety, and all of a sudden we're criticizing that.
Sure, and Brissett also is aware of his limitation. Like, he knows he's not probably going to be able to complete that, throw 50 yards across his body down the other side.
Drake May probably can't either.
No, but
not often.
May thinks he can, you know, like, at the very least. May's going to be out there going, you know what, I can try this. I can try and give my receiver a chance here. It may end up being a turnover, but people aren't going to be quite as down his throat maybe as they would be for Brissett, whose main job is to not turn the ball over. Right?
And he hasn't, and he probably won't.
Right.
You know, everybody pointed to the 50-whatever to 30-whatever career touchdown interception ratio. But I would say I was highly critical of Brissett in the – was that the first preseason game where Tyquan Thornton was behind the guy down the right sideline and it was terribly underthrown? So that kind of counters my point where I just said, yeah, he can throw it down the field. That was a case where there was a play to be made that would have helped the offense, would have helped Tyquan Thornton as he's trying to build whoever he is this year, his third year, build Brissett, that he couldn't take advantage of. He didn't take advantage of, and maybe May takes advantage. Because there were some times on the practice field May threw some beautiful deep balls.
Yeah.
It was some of his greatest early success was on the deep balls. It was like when he just knew he was going deep, dropping back, kind of giving him that one read. We're taking a shot. There's no safety. I'm throwing it to see if my guy can go get it. He put a lot of those in really nice position to be plays for the offense. So that is something that's probably alluring if you're looking to expand the passing game. My guess is it comes naturally. I don't think you're going to need to force that. Between the way the offense is playing, the schedule, the beating that Jacoby Brissett is taking,
yeah.
I feel like, you know, it's a little like when managers say, oh, we got six starting pitchers. usually it takes care of itself, and you don't
right.
have six by the time it becomes an issue. You don't have to go to a six-man rotation. I think the transition to Drake May could kind of come organically.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Looking around the league, it's not been a good start to the year for the other two rookie quarterbacks who have been two of the three of them anyway. Caleb Williams had a brutal game and is now 1-1 after losing 19-13 to the Texans. He had two interceptions, under 175 yards, and Bo Nix had a lot of yards. I think he was top 10 in yards this week for all quarterbacks, but had two interceptions of his own, and that was a loss there for the Broncos, who only managed 6 points against the tough Steelers defense. But even Daniels in Washington, they ended up not being able to they lost that game, right? Or is that the game with all the field goals? No, they won that game.
They beat
the Giants.
They set a record.
No touchdowns. Right.
1,132 games had been played in which one team had three more touchdowns than its opponent, and they were undefeated in those games. This is the first time in history, and that's why you probably saw some of those clips of Brian Daboll with a sort of interesting post-game press conference, people calling for his job, questioning his decision-making, him staring down reporters. Going back to Bo Nix, as you did your little rookie roundup of quarterbacks,
yes.
I don't know how I would like this if I were actually the reporter or in the press conference, but he made me laugh when he threw a red zone pick and the guy said, can you take us through the play? And he goes, I dropped back and I threw the ball to the other team. Just like deadpan, move on, next question. From afar, it made me laugh. If I was actually working the beat for Denver, I probably wouldn't find it quite as funny.
Nah, I think it'd be funny.
Yeah, I probably would, actually.
I'd enjoy that.
Because I actually don't love that
question.
I like
a dry sense of humor.
Can you tell us what you saw in that play or talk us through that play? Well, I dropped back and I threw it to the other guy because I didn't mean to. If I had meant to, then I'd be a terrible quarterback, but it was an accident.
Right, but sometimes, you know, I didn't see the guy. I thought I had someone open. And
I don't know. Ask a real question.
Coverage was a little bit better. I don't know. I mean,
talk about the interception you threw in the red zone.
No one likes a talk about it question, that's for sure. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Some upsets around the NFL in week two, to be sure. None bigger, I'd say, than Vegas taking down Baltimore. I thought, and a lot of people thought that was going to be an easy layup for the Ravens. Not to mention your Dallas Cowboys, who I think we have to take the Saints seriously here, which I was not planning on doing at all this season. They come out with another 40-plus point burger there and humiliate Dallas in Dallas and are now 2-0 with a couple of big-time offensive performances. I'd say those are probably the biggest shockers of the day, and the Arizona Cardinals would be number three. I'd say 1, 2, 3, those are the biggest upsets.
The Ravens is the biggest for me,
yeah.
Not just because it knocked me out of my knockout pool after buying back into my knockout pool after the Bengals screwed me.
I had Jacksonville over Cleveland.
Oh, a lot. I was watching, I don't know if I was watching the live game or the red zone, they referenced it. The Baltimore game at the end of the game, they referenced the impact it was having on knockout pools all across the country. You know, we've now taken that, not just
big
regular
year for knockout pools, huh? I feel like there's been a renaissance of knockout pools.
Yeah, and I feel like there's only like 40% of the people still in them that entered any of their knockout pools because of the obvious losses. The Saints, I'm not taking for real yet. Are you taking Carr for real?
It's hard to do.
Do you remember that interception he threw on the goal line to Kyle Duggar Remember when it was one of the worst?
Yes, I do remember
I'm sorry. These individual plays stick out to me. When players make those horrific plays, I can't take them seriously. Even if they're putting up big numbers, winning games, no, I am not taking him seriously and the Saints seriously yet.
Fair enough. I mean, they're the highest scoring team in the NFL right now, that's for sure. And they have two. The first win, obviously, is against Carolina. That's nothing. But a win like that over Dallas in Dallas, I take notice of that. That's not some division team that you know really well. That's another team in the NFC that you went in there and put in their place. And Alvin Kamara looks like, forget about Carr, Kamara looks like he is on a mission this year.
So since you're going around the league here, it feels like a good time to update my Bill Belichick watch list.
Oh, yes, sure.
So in the one slot, do we have the New York Football Giants?
I would say they're probably
circling the drain.
Probably thinking about that.
Do we have circling the drain today? Because that.
Oh, no, we didn't. You know what? Let's do that right now. Right now, let's take a look.
Brian Daboll's career, sadly.
League leaders and who's circling the drain, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, we give a poop about your pipes. I'm glad you remembered that because I certainly didn't. Brian Daboll.
Host one sucks.
Thank you very much. Host two. Circling the drain is Brian Daboll on the Giants?
Yeah, Brian Daboll, the Giants, Brian Daboll's tenure with the Giants, Daniel Jones, everything about the Giants. They're going down that road of the New York media is much more difficult than the Boston media. I don't care what the Boston media wants to say. It just is. They get angrier. They get meaner. They smell blood in the water. They circle like sharks.
There's more of them, too.
Yes.
It's like a mob.
They bully.
Like,
they give you blanket parties. They do all kinds of things like that. And they smell the weakness in Brian Daboll and the Giants right now. I think that is all going to be destroyed by losing and what's going on. They are absolutely certain.
I'll tell you who took a tough loss this weekend. It was the Colts. Malik Willis beating you, throwing up on the field, throwing up on the ball, and still losing to that team.
He didn't throw up. His center did.
Yes, his center did, right.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
But, yes, the guy's been there 2 weeks, and he beats you. How's Shimes' Anthony Richardson MVP bet going?
I would imagine those odds are a little bit longer today. I can't tell you for sure, but I'd say they're probably longer than they were before. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go back to the phones here and talk to Joe, who is in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. I think the Patriots obviously just lost that game because of two mistakes, two bad plays, the blown coverage on DK Metcalf and the blocked field goal. They were able to overcome one of those mistakes but not another, and that's the type – when you're playing that type of style of football and you're going to play defense first, like ball control offense, it's tough to play like that in the NFL in this day and age because you can't make any mistakes. A top-flight quarterback can erase those mistakes. But, like, if you told me, like, Jacoby Brissett would give you 20 points, control the ball for most of the game, and have no turnovers, you'd expect you'd win that game. And the fact that they didn't shows how tough it is to win in the league like that. So, eventually, I think in the long run, you have to, like, turn to Drake May, hopefully on October 6th against Miami. But that's the long run way the Patriots are going to win.
All right, thanks for the call. And, listen, I think
that's
what
a good
everyone's
point.
Kind of agreeing with, yeah.
If I told you these numbers, Patriots rush 36 times for 185 yards with a touchdown every average 5.1 yards per carry, hold the ball for 35 minutes of clock time in the game, Jacoby Brissett does not turn the ball over, throws for a buck 50 and a touchdown, you'd probably say they win, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so the offense did its job. That's where I'm with Keon White. Jonathan Jones wasn't quite as willing to say that it was on the defense to play better, but
right.
I kind of agree with Keon White's post-game press conference assessment. If you're going to say that's how you play football, that style of football, that was a good enough offensive performance to win. Now, we should also be clear. Actually, I don't know. Let me ask you a question.
Well, if you throw in the targets for wide receivers and the overall lack of passing game in the second half.
No, but
half,
I don't care.
I
care
about that.
You threw for a touchdown.
Bit.
You rushed for a touchdown. You dominated on the ground. You dominated in run defense. You dominated in the time of possession. You didn't turn the ball over. You didn't have any quirkiness in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You should win the damn football game. Are they playing this style of football because this is who Gerard Mayo is or this is who his team is?
It's who the team is.
So you think
Gerard Mayo, I don't think, has an offensive identity. I don't even think that really exists for him at this point.
So you
don't think
in 3 years, if Drake May hits,
that
they're going to be, we're going to run the ball and you got to prove you can stop it. We're going to lean on our ground game and we're going to lean on our defense.
They shouldn't be. I don't think that makes any sense. If that's a plan that they're going to stick with even when they have a good quarterback, it doesn't make any sense.
It depends on the whole team. But
also in 2 years, now who knows who the running back's going to be then? Like, who knows what the offensive line's going to look like? Like, I think that if Drake May is able to step in and start winning some games with his arm this year, you change your identity this year. You know, like that. Why wait? Like, what do you...
Well,
It's not like your running game's so good that no one's ever going to beat you. You just lost.
This year, I don't think you change your identity because it's a young quarterback. So if I can run the ball, I'm always going to run the ball this year.
Okay,
and then lead that into the passing
game.
Shoot
what your quarterback does well.
The running game sets up the passing game for this team. Even if the passing game...
Not really.
No, not right now. I mean, evolutionary-wise,
okay,
in terms of Drake May. And then, if you go out and do the Andy Hart plan and get Will Campbell and get T. Higgins... Actually, I told you the upgraded plan, right?
No.
Okay, upgraded plan.
Campbell, Higgins.
Nope. Remove
okay,
Higgins.
Okay, new plan.
Cross off Higgins.
Uh-huh.
Jamar Chase is telling the Bengals they lied to him and he's pissed off.
I've upgraded.
The Bengals receiver I'm going after now is Jamar Chase, not T. Higgins.
Okay.
So if you go out and get Will Campbell, Jamar Chase, maybe you get both. I don't know. Then that changes what I think you can be. But for now, for the here and now, even if May comes in and even if May's slinging it and making plays to Thornton and making plays to Douglas, I'm still trying to establish the running game every single week to take pressure off him. I don't want to ask him to have to do that. I want him to do that when we've already established a running game.
All right. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. John is on the pike with a thought on Joe Castiglione. Go ahead, John.
Yeah. Before I go to that, I just want to talk about the Patriots real quick.
Sure.
I mean, they're 1-1, and, you know, the way I'm arguing you and Lego my Mego were talking about the Patriots, they weren't even going to win a game. So I'm feeling like
yeah,
it's pretty good for them. And we talked about Mac Jones. He would throw an interception all the time in the red zone, and we'd lose our games. Now we have someone actually controlling the ball. We have the run game, and I think we're looking pretty good. I mean, if you saw those teams that lost this weekend, we're not doing that bad.
No,
and we might have some shots and win some 8 or 9 games, or maybe, I mean, this would be like the Patriots folklore is getting the playoffs.
Yeah,
but,
you have a better record.
We got there. Oh, I'm sorry. I want to make sure I get my points in because I like listening to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we talk about it every year with Patriots. We need playmakers and we need the offensive line. We've talked about it exhaustingly. That's all you ever hear. And we're still not doing anything. I know you guys have talked about T. Higgins and Chase. It all sounds great. But we never seem to do anything. And if we put Drake in that position, I mean, you look at the Caleb Williams and the other quarterbacks that are getting pounded and, you know, throwing 2 interceptions, and Brissett is holding the ball, keeping in control, keeping us in games. I think it's a good thing right now. So,
all right.
That's all I want to say about the Patriots. I want to listen to what you guys have to say. But to Joe Castiglione, greatest voice in baseball with the Red Sox. Love listening to him. He's going to miss him. But I really do think that you talk about longevity in this career as a commentator. Will Fleming, I hope he stays on. I think he's got a great voice, too. That's all I have.
All right, thanks for the call. And,
wow.
Good stuff there. Covered a lot of ground there, and I agree. I think Will Fleming, if he wants it, you know, could be the voice of the Red Sox for years and years to come. I think he's sort of taken the role very seriously in the same way Joe does, and he's a natural. I mean, he's very, very – the whole family is very good at calling baseball games.
Jeez.
So I think –
laying it on a little thick.
Well, listen, I mean, his brother's been out there in San Francisco for however long, and that's just something that they do well. I like Will. I think that he's – I think
Me
he's
too.
Done a very good job there.
Tall.
And, yeah, big guy. The Patriots have a better record than Baltimore, than Cincinnati, than Jacksonville, than the Rams, and the Colts. Like, those are all teams. And listen, when it comes down to it, if all is said and done here, I expected Seattle to come in and win this game by a couple of scores. They're 1-1 against two teams that are considerably more talented than they are, and they're a blocked field goal away from being 2-0. So, I mean, through 2 weeks, I feel like I'm looking at a team that's not a pushover. They're a team that I thought would be a pushover, and as the season goes, they're looking like a tough draw for other teams out there. And that's pretty much all about as much as I could have asked for this year, honestly.
Well,
and it's two games. I mean, we'll see what happens when we're the week 10. But right now, I'd say it's about as good of a start as I was expecting. I didn't think they'd win. I didn't think they'd come close to winning either of these games.
I did not. You and Mego, Lego, whatever.
Lego my Mega.
Both predicted they wouldn't win any games, and I thought that was embarrassing for you guys to predict that. That was
yeah, right. That was definitely our prediction and not yours, 100%.
Do you think playoffs are in play?
For the Patriots?
Yeah.
No.
I don't either.
I do not.
Okay, because people, I feel like people are getting
a
little ahead of themselves.
2-0, I'd be considering it, but 1-1.
It's what we do. We get ahead of ourselves.
Sure.
Isn't this good enough? Assuming Drake May plays at some point, isn't this good enough to be a competitive, relatively clean, competent football team that looks like it's developing some players on both sides of the ball?
Good enough for who?
For everybody.
For everybody? I mean, everybody's not going to like Jacoby Brissett going back out there and competing when they think they could win a game with Drake May, is my point. Like,
no, I just said this year.
I know, I'm talking about this year.
Drake May plays.
Oh, if he plays. Okay, sorry.
At some point, he plays. And then add it to kind of everything that's going on. They're running the ball with Stevenson, and they're still stinky on the O-line maybe, but their defense is playing and whatever. Sly hits most of his field. Like, isn't that foundationally enough?
Yes. Well, it depends.
But everybody's now like playoffs.
Depends what May
or not everybody.
Like.
I shouldn't say everybody. I shouldn't lump everybody in there. But if you're starting to think playoffs right now, I think you're getting ahead of yourself.
I would agree. And I think it depends on what May looks like when he finally gets out there. I don't think people are really doing backflips over what Caleb Williams or Bo Nix or...
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels has been a little bit better, but even him, I mean, his coach came out and said he can't run so much.
Did he win or did the Giants lose?
Giants lost.
And I know,
but he got
get
in the field goal range seven times, so that was kind of impressive, I guess.
But I just...
It was something.
Yeah, the young quarterbacks are showing you... Hell, all quarterbacks. Half of them are running for their lives. We talked about it last week, some of the passing numbers being down and all these things. It's hard to play quarterback in the NFL, especially when you're really young and inexperienced and maybe don't have the best weapons to... It's going to be a challenge for Drake May.
Yeah.
People like you are setting him up for failure.
How am I setting him up for failure?
Because you're expectant.
Expectant to what? He's going to play this year?
No, of good things. There's going to be bad things.
How about expecting him to be better than Jacoby Brissett? Is that expecting good things? Do you expect him to be better than what we've seen so far?
I don't know what you consider better. Because if he completes a few more passes for a few more yards, but also throws a hideous pick six, is that better or worse?
All right, how about cracking 200 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns and, you know, things like that?
With no picks?
Well,
then you're being
picks are part of the game, I think.
Oh, if you take that mentality, picks are part of the game.
For a rookie,
so when he hits a safety in stride and that guy's dancing in front of the camera in the end zone, if you're acceptant of that and take it with the plays he's also going to make.
I'll take that as part of rookie growing pain.
Okay,
sure, yeah.
Then you might not be too expectant. I think some people will crap on him for the turnovers.
I think May's
going
to have growing pains on this team. There's no line and there's nobody to throw to. It's not going to be an easy time for him. I'm not expecting him to come out and kill it, but I think he could maybe give you more than Brissett.
But I don't know if it'll be as bad as this, but look at Will Levis and Brian Callahan.
Yeah.
He said, "What the F are you doing?"
I know.
And didn't back down from it when asked about it post-game. Like he
And they were in that game.
He hates his quarterback right now and some of these mistakes he's making. Drake May is going to have one of those or two of those. Really, really bad ones. Forget the normal ones where he's just going to throw a pick because he didn't see a guy or he throws late. There's going to be... Oh, yeah, you can't do that in the NFL, kid. You can do that at North Carolina. You can do it in high school. But you seem like you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Kind of the give-and-take relationship of the development that will come.
Of any rookie quarterback,
okay.
I think you have to be.
I think some people expect more than that and are going to be disappointed in a way because, yes, the yards might go up, but the turnovers and the mistakes might go up, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And honestly, that's okay. I mean, I think that's part of the process.
That's fair, then.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, that offensive line, Jerod Mayo talked about it this morning, said it was average at best, and I think that may have been a little generous. We'll get to that next. All right, that was Jerod Mayo this morning with Hillman, with Wiggy, with Curtis, with Coco, all of them, and talking about the offensive line, calling it average at best. I don't know that I'd call it average. I think maybe in the run game it was okay. They can run block, but when it comes to pass blocking, I'd say they're well below average and don't seem to be improving. It's only been 2 weeks, but we didn't have high hopes for this group, and they haven't really given us any reason to think otherwise. And it doesn't seem like there's any help coming either. You know, like it's not like there's someone on the injured list who's you're expecting is going to come in and save the day once he starts feeling better. Okorafor's gone. Lowe is what he is. They got that big giant guy, the 6'9 guy, whatever his name is, who's been inactive the first 2 weeks. And that's sort of the problem. Like, they don't seem to be improving, and it doesn't seem like there's any help on the way. Is this going to be a problem all year long?
Yes, and I've been telling you that since the summer when your head coach, Jerod Mayo, was telling you it was overblown how bad they were.
Right.
No, they're not a good offensive line. And I wasn't even adding to the fact, and maybe this is what pushed him over the line this week, the Onwenu thing we talked about a little bit earlier. Onwenu was not good.
No, he was the most concerning part of all this because you count on like him and Andrews at least to do their job, and Onwenu was getting turned around.
I want to say my guy Giardi had him for 7 pressures allowed in whatever it was, 27 pass attempts. So one out of every 4 pass attempts, your $55 million right tackle was allowing a pressure. And
a couple of times he didn't even get a hand on the guy.
No.
I mean, you know, like you saw on the sack, Williams blew right by him.
Yeah, and that's a real problem. And I know there's been the talk that he was overweight and out of shape, and yeah, that's reality, but that's not an excuse for him to not be the best guy on the line or play up. And maybe this is, as I said earlier, maybe an example of he's a guard and the more you see him at tackle. But we've seen a pretty big sample of him at tackle that was better than this, than what he put forth on. And maybe he just had a bad game against Seattle, whatever. But, no, I think I had questions, concerns, and I think it's going to – you can't find guys. I've also been watching – I don't know how much you've been watching other games. There's line issues in a lot of other places, too. There's not a – we fixate on quarterbacks, but linemen are also a lost commodity in the NFL. Left tackles, premier pass protectors. It's a problem, and it's why they go really high in the draft, and which is why it's really hard to find quarterback, linemen, whatever, in the same draft, and which is why they had such a challenge. The one criticism, and you know it, Elliott didn't really even try.
Right.
He got a couple right tackles. Maybe we'll see Caden Wallace develop out of real necessity. You know,
gonna have to. I mean, there's nobody else really on the roster that could do it.
You know those stories about NASA? They were like trying to create something for the space shuttle in the 80s, and they ended up with like duct tape or like, you know, it was, microwave ovens or
and they were trying to create something. Yeah, I know.
Oops, that didn't work. But it cooks hot dogs really quickly, so maybe we can put this in houses. Maybe Caden Wallace will just sort of stumble late into finding his way and being a left tackle when you're just forced to take whatever he gives you if Bedarian Lowe can't go.
He could be the microwave. Well, that someone else already has that name.
Yeah, I know. And he's
Vinny the microwave.
He'd be a big
Pistons.
Microwave.
Yeah, he would.
He'd be a big ass microwave. But I don't think this line is going to get fixed. That's part of my question about Drake May.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like, does that stunt his timeline then? If you saw improvement and it looked like the line was starting to gel into something, then maybe you'd feel a little bit better about putting him out there.
Right. But all along, I thought the line was going to stink all year long. So that's why I didn't really factor that into my decision, unless you're not going to play him all year. If you're just going to ice him for a full year until you get Will Campbell, until you sign a veteran, whatever, fix your offensive line, if you're going to play him in October or November behind a bad offensive line, you can play him in September behind a bad offensive line. And he's either the guy or he isn't the guy. It's like Caleb Williams. Is this going to break him? Bryce Young, is he broken? Or is Bryce Young just not good?
Mm.
And the coaching isn't good. That's another example.
Yeah, we're seeing the red rifle pretty early on in the season here in Carolina.
If you want to feel good about your Patriots, look at Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Giants. There's a few other places where you go, thank God we're not as bad as that organization and that team. You got a few of those that you're ahead of now.
Yeah, looks like it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'm looking at a video right now.
Uh-oh.
Of Derek White.
Yeah, I just saw this.
At the CU, at the Mile High Showdown. It was Colorado against Colorado State.
Mm.
And some no-good loser Colorado State fan went after Derek White.
What do you mean, went after him?
Went
hit
after him.
Him.
Like, hit him. Knocked,
hit him?
Knocked his hat off his head.
Oh.
In the stands. They were in the stands right behind the goalpost.
Was it a kid?
No, it looks like a grown man, and it looks like a couple of people went after him, too.
Oh, good.
Although I'm only seeing this video for the first time here. Anyway, Derek White. You know what? Anybody who takes their anger at Colorado State, I understand. They were probably pretty upset that my Buffaloes stampeded all over them. But you gotta be an adult here, and you can't go after Derek White. What are you doing? Going after Derek White. That's not just the Boulder, Colorado community. That's all of Boston will come after you for that. So that was the wrong guy to step to. Wrong guy to steal on, to borrow a phrase. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we'll reset on what was the bigger problem, the coaching or the personnel, and where were the wide receivers? All that next.